Hi, this is Sean Benson from Harvest Church in Warrensburg, Missouri. I want to thank you for joining us for this week's podcast. For more resources, log on to harvestwarrensburg.com.
Wow, well, are we doing all right? Yeah. What have we talked about so far? I want to review the last couple of weeks. Do you remember? What did you have for breakfast this morning? Oh my gosh, my hopes are... I don't remember either, so don't worry about it. That's why we do review every week, right? What have we been talking about? We've been talking about the gospel of the kingdom, right? This gospel of the kingdom. You and I, we're called to preach the gospel of the kingdom. Is that right? We're supposed to preach it to the ends of the earth. I would suggest to you, the Bible says that means you have to open your mouths. Everybody smile at me really, really big. So good. Look at you. I've got smiles. That's a yawn, Hannah. Let's get with the program. Come on. Gwen, you always smile. That's not a smile. That's better. Thank you very much. Yeah. Look, it requires us to open our mouths. The Bible says, how will they know unless someone tell them? How can someone tell them unless you're sent? Well, Jesus sent you. Remember that moment when he said, just as the Father has sent me, so I send you, right? How will your neighbors know unless you open your mouths? How will your loved ones know unless you open your mouths? You know, don't believe the lie that you can live your life. You can preach the gospel without words. And when necessary, you'll open. No, it's trash. That's not what the Bible says. You live your life for Jesus, right? But you actually have to open your mouths. We're called to preach this gospel of the kingdom. This kingdom he defined as what? Do you remember? Power. The Bible defines the kingdom as power. We're called to preach the gospel of the kingdom, and Jesus tied his second coming to this gospel, to the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom. He said, you will preach this gospel to the ends of the earth, and then I will come back. What does that mean? That means this gospel of power will be preached by you and by me until Jesus parts the clouds and comes back for the second time. That means right now you're called to preach a gospel of power. You can't preach a gospel of power if power has been eliminated from you, if power is not at hand, which of course we've discovered that it is. The Bible actually says it's at hand, right? You can't preach a gospel of power if power is not available to you, but I'm telling you, been around my kids too long. It's at hand. It is available to you. What you're called to preach, you are also called to demonstrate. We saw in the Bible that every case where he said, go preach the gospel, there was always a subsequent demonstration. You're not supposed to go preach freedom to the captives, but then not to have power to back it up. How many of you know even the declaration of the gospel itself is the miraculous power of God being released to woo people into salvation? Another miracle. Miracles still happen today. You can't even get into the kingdom without miracles. They don't stop there. You get the opportunity to continue to demonstrate this kingdom. Remember the guy who was lame from birth. Couldn't walk 40-some years, paralyzed. He hears what? Do you remember? The gospel. He hears the preaching of the gospel and has faith to be made well and walks. That's the gospel that you and I are charged to preach. That's the gospel that we're charged to demonstrate. And this is a place, a comfortable place, where you get to practice that, where you get to discern and sharpen your ability to hear God's voice and to step out and to go, man, I feel like maybe you're sticking this way. Is that true? No. Wow, I bombed it. No, that's great. Pray for me anyway. Right? It's a practice zone. It's a place for you to refine, to sharpen, so that when we go out into the streets, when we talk to our neighbors, when we engage people with the gospel of the kingdom, we have learned to sensitize ourselves to what the Father in heaven is doing and to the empowerment of Holy Spirit so that we can actually put our money where our mouth is. So we can demonstrate those things that we're declaring. All right, come on. Are you with me? The power, gospel is the power. I believe it was last week we also introduced this concept of the last days. Really, I didn't introduce it. The Apostle Peter did. Remember, at the day of Pentecost, Peter stands up having been filled with the Holy Spirit, having the Holy Spirit resting upon him, he begins then to prophesy and to declare, this is that which Joel said. We have recorded in chapter 2 in Joel. This is that which Joel said. And he begins to introduce to them that from this moment of time when Holy Spirit was poured out on this day of Pentecost, we're entering into what we call the last days. Now, we discovered that the last days doesn't have an ending, right? When will it end? When Jesus comes back. So the last days were introduced by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and they find their culmination in the return of Jesus Christ. Interestingly, the same as what we found with the gospel of the kingdom, right? This thing that we preach, that we demonstrate, finds its culmination in the return of Christ, right? The last days that we find ourselves walking in finds its, whatever, endpoint in the return of Christ. I can't speak all the time, just once in a while. And these last days would be marked by what? Do you remember? The outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon all. Upon all. Now, by nature, the word all means all. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, I don't know that we have to go to the Greek, do we? Do we need to go to the Greek? It means everybody. And so if it means everyone, doesn't that stand to reason that maybe then that there are others who have yet to have Holy Spirit in that way, that experience would be ongoing? Because not all right now have been baptized by Holy Spirit, right? You alive? So doesn't it stand to reason then in the coming days that he will continue to come in this season of the last days, if the last days was indeed marked by this very point that the Holy Spirit would be poured out on everyone? Remember your sons and daughters and your grandma and grandpa and your employees and even your dog and cat. No, that's not right. That was wrong. Although that would be awesome. Lay hands on my dog and he starts speaking the English tongue. That's a good day for all. Feed me, you sucker. I'm hungry. Ooh. Get rid of these fleas. I'm tired of them biting me. Ooh, gosh. Let's do it. I'm going to practice on my dog this week just to see what happens. These are the things I'm supposed to say second service, not first service when we're live streaming. I want to introduce something new. The very last verse of Peter's quote of Joel 2, he introduces something else. He's talking about, we've entered the last days, but it'll be marked by the Holy Spirit being poured out on all. And then he says, and everyone who will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. I find it fascinating personally that we dissect scriptures like this. We write sermons and we grab a hold of and sink our teeth into a statement like, oh, this is the everybody who's going to call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Yes, everybody's going to be. The word of God, it says it right there. Peter declared it. These are the days that we've entered into where everybody's going to get saved if they just call on the name of Jesus. Well, we don't believe in any of that other stuff that Peter said. We'll just take this one last thing that he said. Surely none of that other stuff has any bearing on our lives today, but this one we like. So we're willing to take that and separate it out and say, yep, you're going to call on Jesus and you're going to get saved. That's the period of time that we live in. Well, I'm here to tell you, if we're going to take the last verse, hook, line, and sinker, yes, these are the days when everyone who calls on the name of Jesus will be saved. If we're going to take that, and if we're going to preach that, then we also have to concede that these are also the days when the Holy Spirit will be poured out on everyone. We can't cherry pick. If it says it all, then it's either all or it's nothing. And if you're saying it's nothing when the Bible says it's something, I just submit to you, you're wrong, not the word. Right? But it never ceases to amaze me how we can kind of cherry pick and toss out everything. People like to do it with Psalms 103 as well. Psalms 103, one of my just all-time favorites. He's the one who, he takes care of all of your sin. We'll take that. Jesus took my sin on the cross and heals all your diseases. We don't really, that one scares us. We're going to leave that one right there. You know, they're both in the same verse. You can't take one and leave the other. Well, and I don't even know why you would want to leave the healing one. He takes care of all my sins. That's awesome. Like, that's reconciliation. I get to go back. I get to be with the Father in heaven. Like, I get to be reconciled to him in relationship. I love that part. But it also says he who heals all my diseases. How many of you know that's a pretty good day too? And I'll just add to this. He doesn't heal all your diseases when you get to heaven. Because you're dead. You're dead. But that's what we always say. Well, these benefits, they're reserved for heaven. You don't have a body in heaven. You don't need to be healed. Your spirit only. So that objection then leads, well, it must be the millennium then. It's like the evolutionist theory. Well, let's just put more time on it. It'll make sense if we tack on another billion years. Surely that's how we'll describe it. It's like Christians do the same thing. Well, then that must surely be for another time that's going to be way beyond our ability to access. That doesn't sound like the kingdom is at hand to me. And Jesus said the kingdom is at hand. Last I checked, in his kingdom, there is no sick. Hello? And so if the kingdom is at hand, the benefits of the kingdom surely are also at hand. Otherwise, it's just lip service. Either the kingdom is at hand and accessible, or it's not. And of course, we saw all throughout the scriptures the demonstration of that kingdom. We continue with Peter's sermon in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, yeah. I want to build a little foundation before we get there, though. Read with me Acts chapter 1, starting in verse 4. This is right before the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is giving a little bit of instruction. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised. That's going to become significant for us as we continue this morning. He commanded them to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, that you heard from me, verse 5, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with Holy Spirit not many days from now. We're waiting on the Father's promise, but then he begins to define what the Father's promise is. What does he say the Father's promise is? The baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, interestingly, notice that it doesn't actually say the indwelling of Holy Spirit. What it actually says is the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the promise of the Father that they were waiting on. Now, you and I know from the whole of Scripture that from the moment of salvation, we receive Holy Spirit. He comes, he lives on the inside of us. But I want to show you the plain word here. So it can't just be the indwelling of Holy Spirit that we're talking about, that we're waiting on. Remember, Jesus is giving instructions prior to the day of Pentecost, prior to the outpouring of Holy Spirit, right? It's better that I go, Jesus says, because if I go, then I can send the Holy Spirit. Okay, this is the moment he's talking about. Notice again, I'm gonna beat this drum until it really gets into us. Notice that it actually defines the promise as the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Just a thought. Then Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, as we continue just a little bit further, he sets our expectations for what this experience would look like. But you will receive power. It's funny that we keep hearing that word. You will receive power when Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, even to the remotest parts of the earth. And that means that you have to open your mouth. I'm sensing a theme. Holy Spirit comes in me for my sake, but he comes upon me. Notice here we're talking about him coming upon me, coming upon you for a purpose. He explicitly defines the purpose, that you would be his witness. That you'll go to preach the gospel of the kingdom, witnessing, testifying of his greatness and his goodness and his miracles and his love that's available, the power of God that's available for today. You are superimposed by Holy Spirit through the baptism of the Holy Spirit in order to accomplish something. That something is the expansion of the kingdom of God on earth, the saving of souls, the healing and the deliverance of those that are brokenhearted, that are downtrodden, that are captive. Held captive by the enemy. We are those who God is calling upon to set the captives free, and he's empowering us on purpose for this purpose. We've got to hear that today. It is not just for us to have a feel-good party. There is a reason Holy Spirit is coming upon us, right? But we see this defined again as the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now we fast forward just a little bit to Peter's sermon. After the Holy Spirit has been poured out on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2 and verse 33. Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God, he's referring to Jesus. Jesus has now ascended to the right hand of the Father. He is actually located in heaven. And having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to note that it said that they had received the promise of the Holy Spirit. What were we talking about? They were waiting previously for the promise from the Father. Okay, now we see that the promise from the Father has been received. What did they receive? They received the Holy Spirit. He's been poured forth. He has poured forth that which you both see and hear. So the Holy Spirit was poured forth with a demonstration. That which they see and hear is the outpouring of Holy Spirit, that experience that we would identify as the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is nothing new for you, but I'm building a case here. It'll make sense here just a second. This is the same experience that Jesus was prefacing in Acts chapter 1. Now, just a few verses later, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, Peter says this, "Repent, each one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Verse 39, "For the promise," say with me, "the promise." "The promise is for you, your children, and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord your God will call to himself." Now, how many of you know that context in Scripture is absolutely critical if we're to understand what it means? Give me an amen, Stephen.
Amen.
Now, I've just given you the background, even from Jesus' own mouth, for the background being the context of the scripture that was now unfolded, describing the promise that is now available to who?
All.
It's available to all. What was the promise? The Bible defines what the promise is, and it defines it not just simply as the indwelling of Holy Spirit, and not that I want to diminish that in any way. The indwelling is absolutely critical. In fact, it's the indwelling of Holy Spirit that testifies that we're even sons and daughters, that we're even saved at all. So it's not to diminish that indwelling of the, but it's not only the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that they were waiting on. It was the empowerment or the resting on. The promise of the Father was twofold, the indwelling and the resting upon, the salvation or indwelling of Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And here's what I want you to see. Cessationists have said this experience is not available to you today. Cessationists would try to lead you to believe that the baptism of the Holy Spirit was something that was exclusive to those in the first century church, and it's the baptism of the Holy Spirit that brings forth the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that they would say the baptism doesn't exist, and the gifts, all of that stuff ceased in the first century church. But this scripture couldn't be more clear in its articulation that this promise of the Holy Spirit, both the indwelling and the resting upon through baptism, was available. Let's quote it again, verse 39. "To your children, to all who are far off, and as many as the Lord God will call to himself." So I have to ask the question, in this period of history where we're called to preach a gospel of power, where we're called to preach it until Jesus comes back, defined as the last days when Holy Spirit would be poured out on all flesh, in this period of time where it's describing this promise and declaring quite clearly that it's available to everybody, I'm going to ask the question, are people still getting saved? That was a real sorry response, but I'll give it to you. Yeah, people are still getting saved, right? People are still calling upon the name of Jesus. Jesus is still drawing people through you into the kingdom of God. And if he's still drawing people into the kingdom of God, this Bible says that the promise of the Holy Spirit is available for them. The only way you can miss it is if you take it all out of context and dissect it and chop it up and say, well, I'm not willing to believe in those things over there. I'm only willing to believe in these things over here. But if you read it and properly study it with the tools and with the consistency that we all know to study the Word of God, the context becomes very, very clear. The promise of Holy Spirit, both the indwelling and the resting upon, is available for you and for your children and your children's children, all who are afar off and all who will come into the kingdom at the declaration of this gospel of the kingdom. This is ironclad. And the only one who could perpetuate lies against it would be the devil. And the Bible is very clear in the parable of the sower, that the word is sown into people's hearts, and the enemy comes and he snatches the seed, the word, before it can actually take the scales off their eyes and root in their hearts. We need to pray for the body of Christ that the scales would be taken off, that the word would be planted again, and that it would bear fruit so that we can go into the harvest that Jesus already declared was ripe. And we can be effective at expanding his kingdom. Amen? 10:15. Boom. How do you like me now? Go get yourself a coffee. Yeah. And there you go. Yeah. Well, Jesus, we love you. We thank you that your word is super clear. Absolutely clear. It's not confusing. It's all right there. We're asking, would you wash over us this morning? Would you dissolve all of the lies that we've believed, the doctrine that we've bought into, doctrine of man, doctrines of demons, that have shifted our understanding, that have twisted our thinking, twisted our ability to see the plainly written word. And we're asking, even us, even in this church, especially for all of those listening online and listening to this archived message eventually, God, we're asking, Holy Spirit, teacher of truth, would you come? Would you wash us with this word? Would you reorient, line us back up with the plumb line of your word? And would you ignite faith in your people where faith is absent? Ignite faith in us, Jesus, that we can do your word, that we can demonstrate your kingdom, that we can open our mouths to our neighbors without shame of the gospel. I am not ashamed of the gospel, Paul says, for it's the power of God. It's the power of God. We declare this morning, we're not ashamed of your gospel, Jesus. I don't believe it's possible, I'll jump off what Stephen said, I don't believe it's possible for you to fulfill your call in this earth, this side of heaven, unless you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. We need the empowerment of Holy Spirit. We started out with Moses, God saying, hey, get out 70. This was a couple weeks ago. Go collect 70, and I'm going to pour out my Holy Spirit upon them. The 70, they were already leaders. They were already doing the job, but God felt that it was inadequate for them to do it simply in their own strength. Well, if it was inadequate for them, then it's inadequate for you and I. For you and me. We need Holy Spirit if we're to accomplish what God has for our lives, the reason that we still are here and we haven't been raptured.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to contact us or would like more information about our church or additional podcasts or resources, please visit us online at harvestwarrensburg.com. We hope to see you soon.